shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, and we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. When it comes to the Ten Commandments, the ninth and tenth are often given a bit of short shrift. When we're covering them in confirmation class, concentrate on some of the earlier ones, and those we often find ourselves getting late in the year and needing to move on. Coveting, what can be said about coveting? You're not supposed to want what someone else has. And yet here Jesus takes time in preaching to the people to give a special warning about this particular commandment. Beware. Watch out about coveting. It's dangerous. It's easy to slip into. And it attacks at the very heart of the trust which God wants you to have in him. It attacks faith. If you think about the first article of the Creed, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? God has made me and all creatures. He's given me body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason and my senses, and still preserves them. He provides everything I have. He daily and richly gives them to me. Not because I've earned it, but because of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy. He's rich toward me. And when we pray and say, give us this day our daily bread, he renews his promise that he will indeed give us all those things which we need. And so we are set free from worrying about our bread, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, as the pagans do. Why should we be afraid? God himself has said he will give it to us, and yet we do it over and over again. We worry and fear. What will become of us? Where will I find the money to pay these bills? Things get tight. And it's hard. When we give in to those fears, we sometimes find ourselves saying, oh Lord, if I had that extra money, if I had those other things, then I wouldn't need to worry. If I had that inheritance that I know I'll get someday when my dear beloved ancestor passes, when my relative goes to you, Lord, if I had that money, then I wouldn't have to be afraid. If I had that lottery ticket, I wouldn't have to worry like I do, Lord. I'd be free from concerns about money. I'd be free from concerns about what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, will I have enough to provide for my family? Then I could really be at peace, Lord. Then I wouldn't have to bear these burdens the way I do every day. And really, if you think about it, what a blasphemy that is. Boldly and open-faced, say such things to God as we hear the echo of his very promise. The words have just barely passed his lips as he speaks to us. Do not be afraid. I wouldn't have to be afraid, Lord, if you'd give me everything so I could see it right in front of me. If I could hold it in my hands, then I could trust you, Lord. Then I'd be okay. But he says, but I just told you. Yes, yes, I know. But if I held it, then I could trust you. Coveting leads basically to saying, God, if I were God, then I'd be okay. If I had all that I needed to protect myself and provide for my needs, then I'd be all right. But Lord, now I'm stuck in having to trust you. And who knows what you're going to do? Sin that is so easy to creep up upon us because we can cloak it in things. Oh, but Lord, if I had this money, think of all the good that I could do with it. Think of all that I could do in helping others. But again, a falsehood. For God does not expect you to save up a certain amount of money in the bank, have something loaded up for retirement, and then once you feel comfortable with those things, then you're able to give. God doesn't care about what you have in savings. He asks for you to give a portion of the first fruits of what you have as a statement that you believe that He is the Lord, that what you have comes from Him, and that more important to you than what you have in your pocket or what you have on your plate or what you have in the bank is His holy word by which He has said He will never leave you nor forsake you. His word is more precious than anything else. He never breaks His promises. Oh, that our hearts and our steps were directed to keep His commandments and believe what He said. For only in His word, only in Christ Jesus our Lord, are we to find peace. And only from Him are we to find His good and clear instruction that says that what we own ourselves was not given to us merely for our own benefit and our own use. Look clearly at the text that was read today. Listen to what He said. A rich man had fields. They bore well. He had all that stuff. According to our own understanding in today's world, that was his possession. He was free to do with it what he wanted. And yet Jesus used this illustration to explain coveting. And coveting is when you want something that belongs to somebody else. The things that have been given to you are not given to you merely for yourself. They were given to you so that through you, God, who has had mercy on you, might give mercy to those who have nothing. Through you, who have food, those who are hungry might eat. Through you, who have been given His rich and gracious word, you might pass on to those who are bereft and weeping and afraid and alone, burdened under guilt and sin. Through you might pass on to them the word of mercy and an act of love. That is why you have what you have. Dare not say to yourself, I'll wait till I have more before I give, because He says simply trust, share. You are rich toward God, as it says in the text, when you trust Him and believe His promise. That is the true riches. Works of mercy flow from that, flow out of it. But lest we only hear in this text the warning and the law, remember the mercy of Jesus Christ for you. He has given you your place in life. He has given you your body. He knows what you need. He has given you your husband or wife. He has given you your children, or maybe no. He has given you parents to care for and a community in which you live and serve. He knows what you need. And He loves you more than you could ever know. And He is infinitely more concerned that you have everything that you need to support your body and life in this world and in the next than you are. He cares more about it than you do, because He loves you. And where you have failed, know His forgiveness. Know His peace. And as He cleanses away those sins and gives you freedom, rejoice. He will provide and care for you, and you are free. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting.